Morning, church family.
Good morning.
Morning. Are you here?
Yep.
Sure. 100%? 50%? Sometimes, you know, the weekends, our minds just kind of go on cruise control, don't they? It's nice to just relax. But, you know, God doesn't, He doesn't want us to be stressed out, does He? He wants us to have peace. And He is our peace. And He's promised to bring peace into our lives. And so sometimes it's good for us to come together to worship Him, to put aside those things that bring anxiety and stress in our lives. And just fellowship together. Just come and... I know this isn't funny, but sometimes it's good to just come and be fruity. Just be fruity. Well, that is what the scripture today, we're going to be looking into that passage of scripture, having to do with the fruits of being a Christian, the fruits of being part of the body of Christ. The fruits that grow on the vine, the branches, you know, Jesus is the vine. And we are the branches. And then what grows on the branches is what? Fruit. You know, as I was reading this passage of scripture this week, I once again was reminded that God is not a control freak. He's not a control freak. You know, a lot of times we get this idea, especially when our lives are out of control, that we just want God to just jump in there, take full control, and just tell us what to do. Give us take control of us. And the fact is that God, as I've said many times before, God does not do lobotomies. All right? The young people know what I mean when I say that. We've talked about the fact that our minds are very carefully, very wondrously made, created. By who? By God. And if God wanted to control our minds, He would have done that. He would have done it in the garden, right? You know, when Adam and Eve were kind of getting out of control, He could have just gone to that. Marty likes to use these remote control devices, you know, flying airplanes and, you know, helicopters. And it's wonderful to have that little remote control box in your hand and watch what you can do with that. It's amazing. Amazing what you can do. And if God had created us with that type of relationship with Him, sin never would have happened. Never would have happened. It would have said, oh, okay, left turn here, right turn here, up, down, land it, whatever, you know. But God did not create us with that type of a relationship. He created us with the ability to think, right? To process information, to make decisions. And if you came from a family where you had parents that were control freaks, I'm sorry. That's too bad. I'm sorry. All right? Because God never intended that to be. God created us with the ability to think freely. To think freely. So if there's been control freaks in your life, hopefully you're old enough now to say, okay, I get it, I understand. You've been trying to control me all these years. But guess what? God created me with the freedom to think. All right? I am not a robot. And I don't want to be controlled. If you're in a relationship, whether it's a dating relationship or a marriage, inevitably, and I guarantee you, I've told many a young couple that's dating, that at some point, there's going to be a battle of the wills. A battle of the wills, all right? Where one tries to control the other. And some of you men are saying, well, that's what the Bible says. The man's supposed to be in control. And some of you women are listening to society today that says the woman's supposed to be in control. Wrong. Okay? God never intended for anyone to be in control of the other one. Unfortunately, some of you might even be in a religion or have been taught or told in your religious upbringing that the religion is supposed to be in control, that your church is in control of your mind and your pocketbook. Wrong. If you're in that type of a relationship, then you're in a cult. All right? And cults like to control people's minds. They do that by controlling you spiritually or religiously through their doctrine, through their teachings, through their beliefs. Okay? But God didn't intend that either. That's why we were studying a couple of weeks ago the fact that when Jesus came, he came to set us free. All right? Free to do whatever we want to do? No. Free to live a healthy, vibrant, spiritual life with the Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us. And what I like about this passage of Scripture today is that once again, this is another example of how God is trying to relate to us, trying to show us what kind of a relationship we are to have with Him. And if you have a Bible, and maybe even your iPhone will have this on there too, this entire passage of Scripture is in bright red in my Bible. Because what? It's the words of Jesus. So this morning, if you have a problem with anything that is said, if you have a problem with any of this passage of Scripture, don't take it up with me. Alright? I'm going to pass the buck. I love to be able to do that. Oh, I love it. I love it. Because as human beings, we love to argue, don't we, about Scripture? That's why we have, I don't know how many thousand denominations, Christian denominations. That's why the Reformation started with only a handful of, just a few people. But as a result of the Reformation, we have all kinds of Protestant denominations. Because each person decides in their mind that they have a corner of truth, they've got the corner on the truth, and they say, okay, this is how you interpret this Scripture. I had a friend who's a great theologian, has been a dean of a seminary, a dean of a religion department, vast portion of his life. And he said something very profound to me last week, and I'm still scratching my head. I get it, but it's so contrary to everything that I've been raised to believe. But he said this, and don't take this wrong. Please don't take this out of context and go running to the headquarters and say, oh, you should have heard what Pastor Munson said. I didn't say it. I'm just quoting somebody older than me and profound. But this is what he said. Sometimes we need to stop studying the Bible and read it. Just read it. Okay, so that you don't misunderstand what that's saying. It's simply saying this. The Bible is self-explanatory. It's the Word of God. It is the Word given from heaven to us as humans. We need to just read it. All right? How many of you take a text message and that you receive, or even a letter that you know, that's the old-fashioned thing, writing letters. Who does that anymore? But let's say you get a letter, okay, from your grandparents. How many of you would start on the third page of that letter and read it, and then go back and read the first page? Or at the last page, and then go back and read the first page? Usually you read it from the first page forward, right? Isn't that how you do it? Now, some of you I know maybe read books that way. I don't know. You look at the title and you go, oh man, I can't read the first couple of chapters. I think I'll start in the middle, I'll start at the end and read it backwards. So I can find out what it finally, how it concludes. That's not how we read the Word, folks. When God sends us a message, we need to start at the beginning and read it. Just read it, okay? Don't get into all this proof texting stuff until you understand the Word from the beginning to the end. Then if you want to go back and you want to do some proof texting, that's fine, okay? So, when we read this, we're reading the words of Jesus. Let's start at the beginning, alright? John chapter 15. I am. I like that. Because, you know, God defined himself for the children of Israel. He said, they said, who are you? He said, I am. I am the I am. Therefore, I am. Used to be a song. Moody Blues did. I am, therefore I am. Huh. All right. I am the true vine. Well, that means there must be false vines too. If there's a true vine, then there must be false vines also. All right. So, I am the true vine. There's no question as to who this is speaking. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. I am, Jesus is saying, I am the I am. I am the one who led Israel through the desert. I am the one who appeared on Mount Sinai. I am the I am. Uh-huh. And my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. That's pretty straightforward, don't you think? Every branch that does not bear fruit is cut off. Now, any gardener knows that if he's out pruning the vineyard, whether it's trees or whether it's vines, whatever it is, a tree that does not bear fruit, it's not worth much, is it? What's the point? What's the point of a tree that doesn't bear fruit? What's the point of a vine that doesn't bear fruit? It's no good to anyone, really. It might be pretty and green, but it's not producing fruit, okay? So, it's only natural then that the gardener cuts the branch off, or cuts the tree off, or cuts whatever, okay? While every branch that does bear fruit, he smiles at it and says, oh, wonderful. No. He prunes it. Now, wait, that doesn't make sense. He cuts off the branches that don't bear fruit. And the branches that do bear fruit, let them continue to bear fruit, don't you think? That makes sense, don't you think? Well, those of you that have done any pruning or have been around gardeners know that if you want something to bear more fruit, richer fruit, more delicious fruit, if you want it to be abundant, you prune it. Ouch. I don't want to be pruned. It hurts. Leave me alone. Let me alone. But this is Jesus. And he does this so that it will be even more fruitful. Now you put yourself where you want to be. You put yourself maybe in your own mind. Don't raise any hands, but just in your own mind, where are you? Are you the branch that bears fruit? Or are you a branch that doesn't bear any fruit? Okay? Either way, the gardener's going to deal with you. Okay? The gardener's going to deal with you. Now, who's the vine? Who's the vine? Jesus is the vine. Alright? We are the branches. Is there any fruit on your branch? Is there? I can't answer that. Only you can answer that. Alright? You answer that question. In your own mind. So he prunes the branches that are producing fruit so that the fruit will be better and more abundant. Verse 3. You are already clean because of the world. Because of the world, I have spoken to you. All right. Or rather the word. I'm sorry, I said world. The word, I have spoken to you. And why? What is the word that he has spoken to you? The message have you got? As you read God's word, as you listen to the Holy Spirit, what message, what word have you heard? Well, we will look through many passages of Scripture over the past few months. We know that you are children of God. We know that you are saints. We know that you are holy ones. We know that you are connected to the Father through Jesus Christ. There are many ways of describing who you are. Your identity is clear in the Word of God. All right? If you choose to follow Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have a new name. And by having a new name, you have a new nature also. All right? And here he's saying, if you stay connected to the vine, Jesus is the vine, then you are going to bear fruit. And if you're going to be connected to the vine, and you are the branch, you're going to be pruned also. I know, that's bad news. You don't want to be pruned. Well, I thought that once I connected myself to that source of blessing, that source of nurture, that wonderful source, Jesus Christ, that the next thing I'd be doing is driving a Bentley or a Rolls Royce or a Cadillac or something like that. Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? Jesus never promised any of that to his disciples. Never. He said quite the contrary. He said you're going to be pruned. Yeah? So that you will bear more fruit. So that means you're going to drive an old Honda. Or maybe, you know, heaven forbid, you know, an old Hugo or something like that. Some of you went, what?
Pinto.
Okay, a Pinto. When was the last time you seen a Pinto? The point being, folks, that following Jesus Christ, you are connected to the source of life eternal. The blood that runs through Jesus, that blood that was shed on the cross, that same blood is coursing through your veins. It's called eternal life. That's the good news. That's the hallelujah, praise the Lord news. It's life eternal. Like I've said before, if all you get out of this life is eternal life, is that good enough? Huh? Or do you need more? Do you crave more? What do you crave? What do you need? What do you want? Do you want to be connected to the vine? You are connected to the vine. Jesus is the vine. I know, that's hard to swallow. It's hard to believe sometimes. It's like the old preacher said, you know, On the weekends, you know, we're little saints, but during the week we act like the devil. Well, once again, let's review. What kind of a nature do you have? Sinless or sinful? Sinful nature. You're born that way. Okay? It's part of your DNA. Can't get away from it. So that means you should act like the devil, right? No. Because you're not connected to the devil, I hope. You're connected to Jesus Christ. He is the vine. He is the source of all goodness. He is the source of salvation. It's His blood that saves you from your sins. It's His blood and His righteousness that covers you. Not your righteousness, not your perfection, not your sinlessness. Okay? Let's make that clear. So we move on. Because this is repetitive now. It's going to start repeating itself. And when something is repeated in the scriptures, it becomes more emphatic. It becomes more rock solid. It becomes a stronger message. So it goes on. It says, remain in me. Remain in me. Stay connected. And I will remain in you. It's not the other way around. Why? Because you have freedom to choose. If we remain in Christ, He remains in us. Okay? If we choose not to remain in Christ, then He doesn't remain in us. You get it? Freedom of choice. You choose. You choose and you decide. Nobody else can do it for you. Unless you're under the age of 12. There's a few. Your ability to think, your ability to make a decision, your ability to choose, it's all up to you to choose. Okay? So, if you remain in Him, then He remains in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. Oh man, that's one of the biggest problems with Christians, is they are always trying to grow fruit. You know? By sheer willpower. I will. grow fruit. Okay? I'm going to grow fruit. If I die trying to grow fruit. The problem is, if you're not connected to the vine, you're not going to grow fruit. I don't care how hard you try. I don't care how, you know, how much positive thinking you do. You're not going to have fruit unless you're connected to the vine. Okay? No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Remain connected to the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Here is repetition again. Verse 5. I am the vine. What did he say that? Verse 1.
I am. Right?
Once again, Jesus is the vine. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. He just said that once. Did he have to say it again? Yes. Because we're so dense. We're so dense. Because we're so self-willed. We're so, I'll do it my way. I'll do it the way I want to do it. That Jesus has to repeat himself. Hello? Let me say it again, alright, so you'll understand. Yeah, fellow McFly. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Remain in me. Can you say that? Remain in me?
Remain in me.
Okay. And you're not the I am, by the way. Even though pop psychology and society wants to tell you, you're not the I am. Alright, that's pop psychology. I am, I said. That Neil Diamond, yeah, that. Hey, you are not the I am. Jesus is the I am. He always has been the I am, and he always will be the I am. You will never be the I am, no matter how hard you try. No matter what society says, you are not the I am. You are not the center of the universe. Ask any 2-year-old, and he'll say, I am the center of the universe, just by how he acts. And hopefully, by the time you become an adult, somebody has told you that you're not the center of the universe. Otherwise, you end up with a narcissist. And there's plenty of those. All right? Everybody's trying to vie for that spot, that top spot, top, you know, control freak, you know, job. All right? All right, so verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you cannot do nothing. You can do nothing. I like that, nothing. Can't do nothing. Verse 6, society says you can do anything. But yeah, you can in the world. You can do anything. Put your mind to it, maybe, maybe, maybe not. But you can't do anything about your eternal life and salvation except if you're connected to the vine. If anyone, verse 6, if anyone does not remain in me, here we go, repeating it for the third time. If you didn't get it the first time, you didn't get it the second time, here goes the third time. Hello, McFly. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain here, number 4, verse 7, if you remain in me and my word remains in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. Oh, there we go. See, so I wish to have a Rolls Royce. I need a home. Yeah, I need all this stuff. But verse 8 will bring you down a notch or two. Because I want all this stuff. So whatever you ask, you got to give me now, God. You know, I've heard sermons like that. Sorry. You got to read the next verse. Because whatever God gives you is the Father's glory. Very seldom does a Rolls Royce glorify God. Unless he's riding in it. It's not glorifying him. It's glorifying somebody else. It's bringing attention to somebody else. Now, if Jesus is writing that, then it glorifies him. You're saying, well, he rode on a donkey. Yeah, I'll bet that was a special donkey for a long time. I'll bet you that donkey brought a lot of... Well, now my mind's getting away. Whoever owned that donkey must have had a lot of money in his pocket. Hey, you know, this is the donkey Jesus rode. Like, yeah, here, give me 5 cents. I don't know if that happened. I'm just being silly. Somebody had to make money off that donkey afterwards. But here we go. If it glorifies the Father, so whatever God gives you is going to glorify the Father. You get it? It's not going to glorify you. It's going to glorify the Father. And then you know it came from the Father. You see? The blessings come from the Father. All things that are good come from God. All right? So, moving along. So it says in verse 7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Much fruit. Bearing much fruit. If you're bearing much fruit, then you've also been pruned. Yeah. But you're also connected to the vine. And Jesus is the vine. Well, somebody's saying, well, would you give me a list of things that I have to do to make sure that I'm connected to the vine? Isn't there a list somewhere? Isn't there a manual somewhere? Well, yeah, there is a manual. It's right here. This is it here. Read it. Read it. Don't proof text it. Read it. Proof text later. When you know everything that's in here, then you can proof text. But just read it. This is the manual. Okay? But I need a list. Even if God gave you a list, what would we do with the list? We'd wear t-shirts with it on. We'd post it on our bulletin boards. We'd have it in the visor over our heads as we drove along the freeway. And we would make sure that we followed that list to the very T. And we'd have a lot of self-righteous people walking around. A lot of them. We'd have churches by that name. The Church of the List. Follow this list. Walk in this according to this list and you'll have eternal life. So Jesus doesn't give a list. He says, connect yourself to the vine. Oh, but that's too simple. Too simple. I need something difficult. I need to have every single item in my closet with a label on it. I need to have it all spelled out for me. I need it so that I can feel secure. That's why Jesus didn't do that. In fact, when they came, I've said this before, when they came to him and said, well, which one of the commandments now is the greatest? Which one on the list is the most important? Which one on the list do I need to put at the top of the list? And hammer everybody with it. You know? Just hammer them with it. Every time I feel insecure, I can hammer somebody else with that top of the list thing. You know? I can obsess over it. Oh, I love to obsess. I need to obsess over something today. So give me something to obsess over. What did Jesus say? Well, he says, just take all of that. Put it into one thing. The love of the Father. One thing. Just take it all and put it in one thing. But that's not what we like to do as humans. We like to start a little group over here, a nice little warm, fuzzy little group that adheres to just this one thing.
or the teachings of this one person,
or books. We've got to have that little special group so we can feel comfortable and good. And we're the good and they're the bad. You see? That's so human. All through the Bible, you'll find that. It's so human. And every time we get proud and arrogant and narcissistic, Jesus comes along and says, you know what? None of that matters unless you're connected to me, unless you're connected to me personally. None of that stuff's going to matter because you're obsessing over it. You got to stay connected to them. Wow, that's a pretty insecure place to be, because, you know, if I have to stay connected to the vine, then I'm always going to have to go to the vine and say, okay, what do I need? And Jesus says, all you need is me. All you need is me. Oh, but I need, no, all you need is me. But I need, no, all you need is me. All you need is the I am. Just the I am. But I need to obsess today because I just feel like I need to obsess. No, you just need me. That's it. Just me. But that's not enough. No, that is enough. It is enough. Yeah. But no, it's enough. Trust me, it's enough. I am enough. Well, that's not what my preacher said. I am enough. Well, that's not what my church says. I am enough. You see? You get it? Jesus is enough. Amen. He is enough. If Jesus isn't enough, then there's no hope for us. Newsflash. If Jesus, the Son of God, pure, holy, sinless, came to this earth, shed his blood, and rose from the dead, if that's not enough, then we're all lost. We're all lost. Yeah. So, Glenn Munson, stop your obsessing. That's what the Lord told me this week. Stop your obsessing and read the Word. Just read it. And I love it because it's all in red letters. It's all in red, folks. You want to argue? Don't argue with me. I don't want to argue with you. I'm 63 years old. Well, almost. A few more days. Is today April 1?
Yeah.
Is it really? No, this is not my birthday. Don't start that. Not yet. Stop obsessing. You get it? Just stop it. I know your mind can't help it, but just stop it. But I'm human. Yes, you are. You are human. You are sinful in nature, and therefore you obsess. Every one of us has an obsession. Some of us act on them, and some of us try not to act on them, and some of us have it still in the closet. But all of us have an obsession, because that's human nature. It's called sin. You get it? And Jesus came without any sin. Lived a holy and pure, sinless life for you. He didn't need to, but he did it for you. He didn't need any of that. He didn't need to come down here at all. This dirty little, hopeless little, sinful planet. He didn't need to do that. He chose to do that. Would you have done that? Huh? I guess the jury's out on that one. You decide. The point is that Jesus did it. Now you can argue all you want. You can deny him if you want, like Peter did. You can argue with him like Thomas did. But the fact is that Jesus did it, and he did it for each of us individually. So really, it's up to you. You can't blame your parents for the way you are. You can't blame your grandparents for the way you are. You can't blame the society you live in for the way you are. You have to take responsibility yourself. Because when you take responsibility, then you can make good decisions. Anytime you blame someone else for your problems, then you're not making healthy decisions. You're making decisions based on a reaction. The minute you take responsibility for your own life, which at some point you have to do, My sister said, when you stop blaming your parents for your problems, then you've grown up. Okay? I still find myself falling into that trap. Well, if my parents had only, no, can't do that anymore. But if my parents, no, I can't do that anymore. You have to take responsibility for your own life. And sometimes it's hard to do that because we have people in our lives that like to control us. You know? And we feel controlled. We feel like somebody's hovering over us all the time. Well, you know what? Start taking responsibility and start making good decisions in your life. And God will help you do that. But you've got to stay connected. All right? Don't try to do it on your own. You can't do it on your own. You've got to stay connected. All right? Father God, we thank you for your word. For Jesus. Who clearly lays out for us here what it really means to live the victorious life. That life comes because Jesus Christ was victorious. And we can claim his victory as we walk through this life, as we journey through this life with him, with being connected to him. And by being connected to him, then the fruits that grow become a testimony to what Jesus Christ has done for us and continues to do through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So come into our lives. Guide us, lead us, fill us, pump us full of that nurturing power of God so that we can make good decisions and live lives that are a testimony to the power of God in our lives. We pray in